Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. And we're beginning now the exciting and important season of Advent, the beginning of the church year. It's so interesting that the church at the beginning of the year, as a good shepherd, as a teacher, as a mother who helps prepare us to respond to what the Lord is doing, what the Lord is saying to us, the church takes us through each year the rhythm of Jesus' Paschal mystery, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the incarnation, his life, passion, death, and resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father in glory, establishing the future of the human race in his own person, in glory at the right hand of the Father, completing the work he had done. And now the church reminds us that we live between the two comings of Jesus. First, in the incarnation, Jesus came as a lamb to lay down his life for the sake of the salvation of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. So Jesus becomes one of us in order to save us. The church reminds us of the central importance, the absolute centrality of the incarnation of the person of Christ, the God-man, is at the very center of God's plan and purpose for salvation. He brings it about. No one else can do it. There's no other way for the human race to be saved. There's no other way for the human race to move from darkness to light, to come out of the grip of the powers of sin and death, but through the person of Jesus Christ, who is now the second Adam, who's siring a new race of people in a new existence, in a new creation that exists beyond death itself and united to God the Father in heaven for all eternity. But the church, as we begin the season of Advent, because Advent means to come, the comings of the Lord is what we're focusing on. The first coming is a lamb, second coming to judge the living and the dead. And this final age of the church is the time between these two comings, and this is the last hour of human history in the words of the Apostle John. And so the church begins not only looking at and anticipating and celebrating Jesus' first coming, but as we begin the year, the church in her wisdom leads us to focus on the final return of the Lord. That's a key part of this whole season of Advent. It's a season of readiness, the church exhorting us to be awake, to remember who God is, to remember who we are, receiving our identity from God, what it means to be a son and daughter of God. The church wants us to be awake to the biblical worldview of the reality that we're living each day in spiritual combat in the world of flesh and the devil. We're fighting against the powers of sin and death. It's present, it's here, but in Christ, in our baptism, Paul will tell us today, we're going to look at the readings from yesterday's Mass, that in baptism we're united to Christ. The new thing has already begun. The light of God has been shed into our hearts. God has made his home in us as in a temple. So the work of salvation has already begun, but we have battles to fight between now and our own death or now and the return of the Lord. I want to begin with the passage from the second reading from the opening liturgy, the opening Mass of this season of Advent that we read yesterday and heard yesterday at Mass. So it's Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Paul said, "Brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced, the day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh." So Paul's helping us understand, and he's teaching the brothers and sisters in Rome that the way of life that they once lived, the way of life that they see around them in a Roman Empire, which was lots of drunken orgies, lots of rivalry, lots of jealousy, lots of kind of open rebellion, drunkenness, lust, the rest of it, is a normal part of Roman pagan life. And they had been called out of that way of life. Those are the habit patterns of sin that characterize the darkness. It's a revelation of, you could say, the working of sin in the human race, the fallen human race, and the condition that we're in as the church and the biblical worldview understand it, the default mode of the human race is that we're born into sin. We're born in under a dominion of darkness. Scripture will describe it. In that dominion, the work of the flesh, the work of the devil, and the world itself these three powers that are set against the Lord and against his people are at work in us. And until we enter the waters of baptism, until we repent of our sins and receive the grace of the forgiveness of our sins, and then receiving the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us a new life, a share in the life of Jesus himself, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that conquered sin and death itself, is now given to us. And we can say very clearly, echoing the Apostle Paul, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You're an overcomer. You've overcome the world in Christ. You've overcome sin in Christ. You've overcome the work of the devil in Christ. But Paul makes it clear, the already is not yet perfectly completed. This work of God that began for us in baptism is something we have to continue to say yes to. And we have to cooperate with by continually putting off the old man and putting on the new. That is, continuing to walk fully in our identity as sons and daughters of God. It's not something we just passively receive or that automatically happens without our full cooperation. So here at the beginning of the church year, church is reminding us what's at stake, that we're living in this spiritual battle and that we're not yet fully home. It's still possible to lose our salvation, and that we need to have one eye looking for the coming of the Lord. We know he's going to return again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And we want to find ourselves awake, alert, ready, welcoming the Lord. That's the posture of a disciple. We understand the big picture of what's unfolding in human history and where we stand right now. And so without having an eye, clearly our feet are on the ground in the present. We have an eye to this world and all our responsibilities in it. But we need to have an eye set on the return of the Lord so that we always remember what's important. If we don't keep the end in view and its ultimate value in our life, and that ultimate end is either our own personal death, which could precede the coming of the Lord, or the coming of the Lord itself, because we know with absolute certainty that our lives are headed toward a very important appointment, face to face with Jesus. And on that day, we'll give an account of our lives. What did we do with the gospel that we'd been given? What did we do with the grace that we've been given? Did we walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Did we put on Christ? Did we walk in love? Was that the desire of our heart? Was that the desire that we most wanted? Did we seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness? Did we seek to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves? Did we have all three of those loves rightly ordered? The rightly ordered love toward God, which is abandoning ourselves in absolute trust to him, knowing who he is, knowing his radical love for us and that we belong to him. And part of that trust, friends, and that abandonment is receiving our identity from him, receiving our identity as sons and daughters of God and walking in that identity. And what that requires, as Paul is saying here, is put off the stuff that the world is consistently trying to put on you. Break down the idols, destroy the idols, let them crash to the ground in our lives, where don't let the world deceive you into the radical pursuit of money or sex or drunkenness or rivalry and jealousy against our neighbor, envy, these kinds of things, but instead walk as Christ walked, in humility, in peace, purity, in holiness. This is what the Lord wants to produce in us. Now, those things don't get reinforced by the world around us very much. There's a perpetual, constant drumbeat in the world that's meant to distract us from staying focused on what matters most. And in an ever-increasing way, the things that are ultimate and that in the eyes of God matter most, things that please him deeply, things he's going to reward and he's going to acknowledge, are rarely valued in this world. That's why we need to be awake. St. Peter says, be alert, be awake, be sober, be clear-headed. Keep first things first. So again, Paul's word, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. If you remember earlier in Romans, Paul talked about how we deal with the flesh, that desire within us, that drive or that orientation within us that wants to resist God's ultimate claim on our lives, that says no to God, says, my will be done, not thy will be done. We seek to please ourselves, to comfort, to secure ourselves, to secure our happiness as we can see it. And so we're so desperate for it, we can easily be seduced by the world. Now, the gospel reading yesterday was also very powerful and situates us for the entire season of Advent. It's taken from Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So it will also be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day the Lord will come. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not to let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." So the words of Jesus himself, it's a story of Noah reminding us what happened with Noah. God made it clear to him that the world was about to be judged with a huge deluge, massive deluge, and Noah began to build an ark. And his neighbors must have thought he was nuts. They were busy doing, as Jesus said, all the things that people do in the world. They're not all bad, but they weren't focused, first of all, on God and God's word and the clear direction God wanted to give his people. They weren't paying attention. They weren't walking in commandments or belief the way God wanted them to live. They were living completely on their own, seemingly content, focused on their own priorities, not on God's priorities, not seeking to please God, but ultimately to please themselves and please those around them. Noah understood. And God commanded him to build an ark. And again, one of the central experiences Noah probably had was the constant mockery of those around him. Like, who is this guy? What has he lost his mind? He's building a giant ark. He's going to put animals on it, two of every kind. For what? Because he's anticipating a giant flood that's going to judge the whole, God's action to judge the whole world. People probably laughed at him, thought he was crazy, thought he was wasting his time. He wasn't getting in on what mattered to the world around him. He was missing out. He was a kind of pathetic creature. That's what it can feel like following the words of Jesus, because he's saying the same thing to us. He's saying judgment day is coming. It's going to come either at the point of our death, as I said earlier, or at his final return. And that to be alive in God means that we live with a posture of, in the words of Jesus, preparedness. We're preparing for the return of the Lord. We're living in his will, living in the commandments, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in love. Again, love of God, love of neighbor. This is the radical passion and the center of our lives. This is what it's all about. Learning to love, learning to walk in love, and learning to extend Jesus' mercy in the world in the Great Commission. Are we living fully in the commandments that he's called us into? Because remember what he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how God understands and sees. That's, again, the love language of God. I keep repeating it on the program, but it's so important for us to see. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a thought, but it's a decision of love to walk in the commands of the Lord under the power of the Holy Spirit so our lives can bear fruit. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.